bow our heads in prayer.
Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your presence among us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your presence goes with us day in, day out. Lord, you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, Father, as we continue to study from your prophet's message of the unveiling of God, and Lord, this mini-series in the two lines, we ask you, Lord, to help us to have greater depth of understanding, O God, that we might not be fooled as so many will be deceived in this hour. But you said the true vine, Lord, the elect will not be deceived. And so, Father, we just commit the study of thy word into thy hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be looking at the understanding of revelation or delusion, and true vine, of course, she lives by revelation. False vine, she lives by delusion. And the false vine, they don't have a love for the true word, but they hold to the word for another age. And because they loved not the word, they're turned over to a delusion. And so we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And Brother Branham said the correct should be the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now from his sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Branham said, look, now Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you, it makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ, and Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, you see what God's trying to do? What is a new birth? You say, well, Brother Brad, what is a new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Revelation. Amen. See? Not you joined a church. Not you shook a hand. Not you done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible. He is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church is built upon. Now, the problem is, people do not understand what revelation is. And they don't understand, and therefore they live in a delusion, not understanding what revelation is. They think revelation is something mental. It's like, I have an understanding now I didn't have before. Hallelujah, I'm revelated. No. You're deluded. If it has only gone this far, you're deluded. He said, let's go back to what he said. Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. So the revelation has life. Right? It's not just a mental thing. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life of now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation. Now remember, revelation means manifestation of divine truth. You can't separate revelation from manifestation. You cannot do it. So when Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the revelation of the Son of God, I live by the manifestation of the divine truth of Christ Jesus. In other words, his life is living in me. And that's why he says, and therefore it's not me that's living, it's Christ is living in me. And when that has become alive to you, then you know you have the revelation of Christ. Then you know that that becomes the center of your life. You see? I'm going to read it again. Look, Christ in you, the anointing in you, the anointed life in you, makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you, it makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ, but Christ in you makes you the complete, maybe we should say this, the completed revelation. All right? Because that goes back to what Brother Dobbs said. All that he did back then, he didn't complete. You see? So he says, here's the secret. The bride has the word. And she knows what to do with it. And she has a spirit, and she knows what to do with the word. That's Christ in you. That's the anointing in you. That's the revelation, the manifestation of divine truth in you. Not just something you sat back and observed. It has to do with your, with you. You are a new creation. It's Christ, the life, the revelation. It's in you. Otherwise, it's just a delusion. You're a churchgoer. He goes on to say, amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook hands, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ, pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Now, he goes on. You say, well, I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Message believer. I'm a Presbyterian. That don't mean Brother Bam snaps his finger that to God. Not a thing. Not a snap of your finger. What is it? It's Christ being revealed. Now, what is revealed? Manifestation of divine truth. What is Christ being revealed in you? It's the manifestation of the life being manifested in you. Amen? Now, and he is the word. And when the word, so don't forget that. It's not somebody talking to you and say, well, I've heard from God. You know, Brother Bradley used to hear from God, but now I hear from God. Well, what do you hear? If it's not the word, brother, it's not God. You understand? It's Christ being revealed, and he is the word. And when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. Wait a minute, brother. When the word is revealed, it expresses itself? That's what he said. What does that mean? It's a manifestation. It's an expression. If it's not been expressed in you, if the word has not changed your life, if the word is not expressing itself in you, you're deluded. You're a churchgoer. You think that you're okay because up here somehow in your mind, you know, you believe God's in a prophet and these things. But brother, if it's not life to you, and if it's not your life, and if it's not expressing itself through you, you don't have nothing. You might as well be Catholic. What's the difference? It's Christ being revealed, and he is the word, and when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. What's expressing that in you? It's not Don Shearer, it's the word. It's not Gary, it's the word. You find yourself doing things because it's the word. Then one day you're reading, you say, hey, that happened to me, and I see it right here in the Bible. You see? See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his law by death. Christ, God, died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride redeemed back that will believe only in the word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conceptions of men. You see it? Now, notice what he just said here. When the word is revealed, it expresses itself. You can't get away from the definition of what revelation is. It is not a mental thing. It is a manifestation of divine truth. Therefore, it has to be an expression in you. Or if you don't have that expression in you, you don't have revelation. You have a mental concept only. This is the danger of when we say, well, you know, the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost is to believe the message for the hour in which you live. Because if you just say that, and the expression is not there along with that, the life is not there along with that, you've just got a mental understanding, and then I ask you the question, what is the message of the hour? It's the doctrine of Christ. It's living by the same faith that Christ lived by. It's God coming down and manifesting himself through one and then through others. It's the same God, the same life that was in Christ, the Son of God, living itself, expressing itself out through you. And if you don't have that, brother, sister, it's a delusion. What's a delusion? It's making you think that you've got something when you don't. My brother John ought to know that because he used to do magic when he was a kid. And magic is not, I guess there is black magic and that kind of stuff, but where they get the powers of the devil and stuff, but I'm talking about just illusionists. Someone who's an illusionist. What they do something, and there's actually ways that they're doing it that makes you think that they're doing something else. And that's delusion. It's deluding the people. It's deluding the audience, okay? Now, what is it then? When the word is revealed and expresses itself, you can't get away from that, from the definition of revelation. It's not a mental thing. It's a manifestation of divine truth. Therefore, it has to be an expression in you. Not just in Brother Branham. In you. That's Christ's idea. That's Christ's idea. The new birth reveals this. And if a man says he's born again and try to place these promises of Christ in this last day to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, what has he got? He's got delusion. Jesus said in Mark 16, "These signs shall follow them that believe into all the world and to every age, to all the world." Mm-hmm. Casting out devils, speaking with tongues, and all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, that they shall not that they may be, they ought to be, but they will. And heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. I'm not saying that every day there's going to be great supernatural things taking place, but it's going to take place in your life. And you'll know it. And you'll see the supernatural presence of God in your life. And you'll be looking for it. And if you're not looking for it, I feel sorry for you.
That's right.
Every day I wake up, I ask the Lord, do something for me today. Something for your people. So what you're looking at here is this. Revelation manifests while delusion does not manifest. There are two things that Brother Branham speaks of in this paragraph, and that is revelation and delusion. These are two opposing things. Now, according to Webster's Dictionary, revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. His spirit bearing witness with your spirit. That's the only way it can manifest. His spirit will bear witness with your spirit. You know, how many times have you prayed for something and the answer was on its way even before you prayed, but you didn't know it? Remember I told you years ago about I prayed for 50 laptops at 7 o'clock in the morning, went into work at 9 o'clock, and I met with Smith Klein Beecham, the regional manager. He said, before we discuss our contract, I said, I want to let you know that headquarters called me at 7 this morning and told me that we have 3,000 laptops to give away to nonprofit organizations. While I was praying at 7 o'clock to my headquarters, he was getting a telephone call from his headquarters. And so that's how our laptop program began, where we were able to give laptops around the world to ministers. Many times you find that you have a need, you begin to pray, God earnestly puts it on your heart to pray, and you find out that this thing has been working its way through the path, and all of a sudden one day, boom, there it is. It's done, and it was actually begun before you even started praying. So who put it in your heart to pray? God. Now, if God put it in your heart to pray, and then the answer comes, and then you find out, when you trace back how that thing developed, that it had been going on before and before, then who put it in your heart to pray? Mm-hmm. God. Is that supernatural, or is that not? Mm-hmm. All right. Is that manifestation of divine will, or not? So when you pray, and God brings it to pass, that's manifestation of divine will. It's not you pumping up your muscles, and showing that you're something. It's your dependency on God. Jesus said, I do nothing. The Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him first. But he had a tie post. And that's what we're talking about, that tie post. God revealing his word. Now, how do you know the interpretation of the word? Because it comes to pass, right? That's revelation. So how do you know that interpretation? It's revealed to you. How is it revealed? It's manifest. You've seen it. Hallelujah. All right. Now, according to Webster, revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. Notice revelation is not words. Revelation is not mental knowledge or understanding as though someone tells you something or your mind understands something. The definition of revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. Therefore, it is a manifestation as in expression. So the invisible becomes visible. If a person claims revelation, then there must be manifestation and expression. Or what they have is not revelation, but only a delusion. Oh, I know the word, and you don't know the word. You think you know the word. Notice the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So revelation is a making known by using something to manifest itself. Now, how did God make known the mystery to Paul? God appeared to him in the pillar of fire and began to talk to him. Now, this is very important for us to understand because many people think that they have a revelation, but in fact are only under a delusion. My brother Peter this morning, he got up early and he was going through my notes. I post them on the internet usually about between anywhere from where I get going to my office about 7:30 usually, and I finish up about maybe 1 or 2 in the morning. And when he gets up in the morning, he likes to read those first before the service begins. And he sent me this quote, and I think it's a wonderful quote. From Perseverance, Brother Brown says, now the devil is not like some people think. He's that he's mean and everything, but he's deceitful. The devil makes you think that you're right. But when you disagree with the word, that shows it isn't the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and then it's got to be agreeable with the word. Now, a young man said to me in a text last week before I left to go bury Brother Bill Caldwell. And by the way, it went very wonderful. We had wonderful service there. And the brother said, "Well, when Brother Brown died, God began to speak to someone else, and of course, he believes that he's that person." But this poor brother does not have revelation of the word. What he has is a delusion because he thinks that he can bypass the word of God and that voice is speaking to him. Now listen, many people in mental institutions have voices that speak to them. And I'm not saying this guy is mental, but I'm saying that it could be. In other words, if it's not the word of God, then it is mental or it's a spirit. Now listen to me. Most people are living in a delusion. If they do not have revelation, they have a delusion. And that is dangerous because they think that they're right. And as Brother Branham says up here, he said, the devil makes you think that you're right. The difference between revelation and delusion is that revelation is based on Bible truth that is manifested rather than Bible truth that is just mentally believed. Now we have seen Malachi 4 manifested in this hour, so we can therefore have a revelation that is what it is. But the rest of Christianity looks at Malachi 4 and they think that's down in the future someplace. It's not revealed to them. It hasn't been manifested to them. Even though maybe many of them have seen the manifestation, but they didn't put two and two together and see that what took place is that what the Bible spoke of. That's revelation. But they didn't see it. I mean, they saw it, but they didn't see it. They didn't perceive it. They didn't understand it. As Jesus said, they'll hear, but they don't understand. They'll perceive. They'll see, but they don't perceive. So the difference between revelation and delusion is that revelation is based on Bible truth that's manifested. In other words, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. That's revelation. Rather than Bible truth that is mentally believed. Revelation is a Bible truth that you see coming to pass. That is what revelation means. Revelation is not, as many say, just some mental understanding that you have that you did not have before. That is only a delusion. And if it has only come as far as the mental understanding, it's just a delusion. Unless God anoints, remember, Brother Brown said, first faith comes to the mind. He said, then God anoints that and drops down to here. Then it becomes, he said, a dynamic revelation. But while it's up here, it's not a revelation, brother. It's a mental understanding, but if the Holy Spirit anoints that, then now your eyes are open. Oh, this is that. The Bible says this, and this is that. It's like Brother Billy Paul said, if you don't have the spoken word and the written word, you don't have revelation. Because the spoken word, what we saw this hour, is a manifestation of this, And you put them two together, now you've got revelation. It's revealed to you. So if you're just looking at this, but not at the Word. See, many people hear the prophet. They saw the miracles and everything else. But they have no understanding of what it is. There's no revelation there because they don't have this. Revelation is when God reveals this by manifesting it. You understand? Hallelujah. Now, revelation is a Bible truth that you see coming to pass. That is what revelation means. Revelation is not, as many think, just some mental understanding that you have that you didn't have before. As I said, that's just a delusion. Because a delusion is a false belief or opinion. That is something that is mental. Delusion has to do with the mind, thinking something that is not. It comes from the word delude, which means to mislead the mind or judgment of, or to deceive. And then the dictionary gives an example of how the word is used. It says, his conceit deluded him into believing he was important. The young man that wrote the text, his conceit deluded him into thinking that now he had the ministry of the hour. Notice the mind or judgment was misled or deceived. And in the case of this young man, it was what he claimed to have seen, a vision, which many people call dreams, they call them visions, but it's just a dream. Brother Brown said, a vision, your eyes are open. You can see everything around you, but you also see this thing taking place right in front of you. Whereas a dream, your eyes are closed, and he said they're two different things. Not that God doesn't use both. And I don't doubt that this man had a vision or a dream. But his problem is what he did with it, and he didn't check his dream or vision by the Word. We must check everything by the Word. Remember, Martin had a vision of Satan sitting down right in front of him and said, worship me, Martin. And he said, just a minute, you're wearing a crown. The Word says the saints shall crown him. Depart from me, Satan. And he did. Now, Satan, the best way he can deceive, he can give you a vision. And if it's not according to the Word, and it might be according to part of the Word. Because remember, he quoted the Word to Jesus, but Jesus said, but it's also written. You see the importance of understanding your Bible, knowing your Bible, reading your Bible so that you do understand it? So I don't doubt he had a vision or a dream, but his problem is that he did not check it, his dream or vision by the Word. We must check everything by the Word. And in the case of this person, he said, it is not the Word that's important, it is the voice that speaks to him. Now, I do not deny that he may hear voices, but whose voice is he hearing? Remember, Satan can impersonate anything that the Holy Spirit does. And most mental patients, they hear voices, many voices, and they claim those voices are of God. But if that voice is not scriptural, how many times you read in the newspaper, somebody says, well, the Lord told me, God spoke to me. I heard his voice. He spoke to me, told me to kill that person. Just a minute. God is a word, right? The Word says what? One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. And so you're saying that God told you to do something that he said not to do? You see, they don't check it by the Word. And most mental patients, as I said, they hear voices, and many claim that the voices are of God, but if that voice is not scriptural, then it is not the voice of God, but a demon. And that is where so many people open themselves up to delusion. Why? Because they do not love the Word, which is the truth. Let's just go back to 2 Thessalonians, it's our text for today. And with all deceivableness, what is deceivableness? What does it mean to deceive? Trickery, mislead. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness or unrightwiseness, incorrect thinking, and then they perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I told this brother that he was under delusion. So he wrote to me and he said, if I am a false prophet, the Lord Jesus shall prove it to you. Well, he has already proved it because he's off the Word. Which is what he's done. One word off of Satan's kingdom. And his brother does not believe the word of God is brought to us by a vindicated prophet. And so he continued, but if I am a real prophet, the Lord Jesus shall still prove that to you. My God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not shorthanded to reach out his messages to you. You think God don't talk to people anymore. I never said that. Well, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ lets you know that he always speaks to generation after generation, and that person that you hate him so much. I don't hate the guy. I don't hate anybody. Remember, I disagreed with Brother Branham when I was in Africa. I didn't know that. But the man admitted. When he teaches that the Old Testament God is the Jesus of the New Testament. You know, see, now I believe this is where the brother picked up a deluding influence. When he disagreed with a vindicated prophet, when he got puffed up, and at 16 he thought that he knew more than a vindicated prophet. And at 17 he thought that he knew more than Brother Vail. Because he goes on to say, but the Lord Jesus showed me a vision that the Lord Jesus Christ, seating on a golden throne with face shining like the sun, and based on his own vision, he says, and I realized that Brother Branham was right, and he is truly a true prophet of God. Then I come to America and find out you are preaching the same thing I heard all my life in denominations, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God, but is just the Son of God. Then I was angry. Now listen, I've never taught that Jesus Christ, that the fullness of God was not in him. It's just that these people can't separate the body from the Spirit of God that lived in him. Then I was angry and I thought, how did this man become a pastor of the message if he does not have the revelation of the God who was revealed to Brother Branham? Well, see, this brother's a oneness and he doesn't know it. And he thinks that Brother Branham taught a oneness message, and Brother Branham did not teach a oneness message. Brother Branham said he's not one, your fingers one. And he said the body is not deity. Well, that means the body is not God. And he said he was a dual being. He said because both God and the Son of God lived in the same vessel. Now notice the reaction, just like Cain, who when he was wrong, got angry instead of talking to his brother to find out about Abel's revelation. Cain got angry and wanted to destroy his brother. And if the brother had listened, he would have heard me quote the Apostle Paul saying that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He would have heard me quote a vindicated prophet of God who said the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. He would have heard me quote the vindicated prophet who said Jesus and God are not one like your fingers one. He would have heard me quote God's prophet saying from Questions and Answers, Jesus was not God. But he was God. He was a man, yet he was God. He could cry, and yet he could raise the dead. He could cry for a man. He could cry for a man being dead and raise him back up again. He was Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Manassas. He was Jehovah all completely. He was Jehovah, and yet he was a man. You see, that's the true revelation. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is this. Remember. Brother Branham said, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, right? Christ. What is Christ? The anointing. That anointing is a mystery. It's always been a mysterious thing. And Christ, the anointing, is the mystery of God, the invisible one, revealed, manifested, manifestation of divine truth. How did God manifest himself? Through a body. Whose body? The body of the Son. It's all there. But usually when they hear us quote the prophet, they do not believe that we're quoting him because they do not believe what is being quoted. And that's their problem, it's not mine. Then the man went on to degrade Brother Vail, and he said, Then I find out about the theology of Brother Vail and his false message, parousia. Now, a lot of people call the parousia a false doctrine. But just because they say it, it doesn't make it so. If Jesus preached it, can you call it false? What about Paul? Paul preached the doctrine of the parousia of Christ. And Paul said, if you don't preach what I'm preaching, you're false. And you're under a curse. And then what about Peter? Peter preached it. And then what about John? And what about James? In other words, the New Testament writers, the apostles, that is the doctrine of the apostles, the parousia of Christ. And to call it false shows you don't have the same spirit that those men had, which is the Holy Spirit, which Jesus had. And Jesus was the first one to preach parousia. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Because Brother Branham said, if you have the Spirit of Christ, it'll say amen to every word. It'll say amen to every word.
Amen.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Word. The one who wrote it will say amen. If you got His Spirit in you, you will amen what He wrote. Therefore, if all the apostles who wrote the New Testament all preached it, as well as our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the first to preach it, and then you call it a false doctrine, I would have to doubt you have the same Holy Spirit who wrote the Word and placed the doctrine of parousia in that Word. Because it shows the Word is not revealed to you, and therefore your understanding is false, and you are living in a delusion and not by a revelation. Now, I can say the parousia is true because 79 out of 84 events that are associated with the parousia of Christ have already been fulfilled. And we've seen it in our generation. We've seen it. What is that? Revelation. Manifestation of divine truth. We've seen the shout, which is the message. Therefore, we're living in that shout. We shall be aware of that voice. And we'll see it just as we saw the shout. We will see it manifested to us. Now remember, just one word off of Satan's kingdom. And when you turn down the truth, God will give you over to a reprobate mind, which is a delusion. Then this brother says, so to me, Brother Bell is wrong and has no revelations from God, and his entire, I think he meant entire message is wrong, is complete falsehood, and is full of theology and deception because he refuses to believe Brother Branham on this Godhead revelation that makes him an unbeliever. And remember, an unbeliever shall not enter heaven. This is why you need to be careful too, because Brother Bell is not in heaven for his failure to believe Brother Branham on the Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. You yourself will follow your teacher in the place where he is right now. So the man saying, I'm on my way to hell because I believe that there's one God, he had a son. Well, I hope and trust that I will follow Brother Vail to where he's at. Because I'm positive sure that he is saved and in fellowship with God's prophet beyond the curtain of time, even as we speak. And the prophet of God who said to him, Lee, you will be in that tent when I get it, and you will teach doctrine to the ministers and faith to the people. Brother Vail said that the first few years after Brother Branham had the tent vision, he said, Brother Vail, when I get the tent, I would like for you to teach doctrine to the ministers and faith to the people. He said, the last 3 years, he said, Brother Vail, you will teach doctrine to the ministers and faith to the people. Now, I hope you do. You will. Now, listen carefully to what Brother Branham said in the sermon, Word Became Flesh in India Trip. Now, you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happens, and express it in word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material. In other words, look, Brother Brown said there's three ways you know something's from God. He said, it's revealed to you in the Word, and you see it. And he said, then it's manifested. Then it's quickened to your spirit, he said. That's number two. Quickened to your spirit. You see that in the Word, it's quickened to your spirit. Then you see it come to pass. All right, what is that? That's Christ in you, the revelation being completed. All right? Now, you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happened, and express it in word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material, a thought expressed. Oh my, how God could. See, if your heart and your mind is so and infilled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become His thoughts, amen, there you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my, what kind of people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thought, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of church would we be? What kind of people would it be this morning if this Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God, there's your parousia, why, when you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thought, didn't even have no alternative of yours, but just to be led by the Spirit. And remember, the Spirit's the Word. Led by the Word. Now, hallelujah. So filled with God's Word, His thoughts, that our bodies begin to express the God life contained in that Word that's within us. That is when God's Word becomes manifested Word. And manifested Word is manifested life. She said in John 6:63, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. Now, the opposite of revelation is delusion. A delusion is when you think that you know, but you really don't. As Brother Branham said, when the devil deceives you into thinking you're right, when you're not right according to the Word. You're only deluded. And deluded means to deceive the mind or the judgment of. Therefore, a delusion is an act or process of deluding or being deceived. The state of being deluded or deceived. A delusion is a false belief or opinion. Excuse me. We find then two conditions at the end time. First, we have a great promise of an end-time revelation, and then there is also the promise that this end time will be the time of the great deception or delusion. Now, which of these conditions you find yourself in will depend on your own heart, your own election, and your love for the truth. The promise of the great end-time revelation we find in 1 Peter 1 and 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the race for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of who? Of Jesus Christ." And again in Ephesians 1:17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now notice we see that revelation of Jesus Christ is a great end time revelation. And that is because as the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, which is the message, that message is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there is also promised a great deception or delusion that will come on the scene at the end time as well. In 2 Timothy 3:13, "but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Why? They're deluded. they believe what they're teaching is right, but they're wrong. They have no word for what they're teaching. And of course, going back to our text for this morning, we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 again, "and with all deceivableness," which means to mislead by a false appearance or statement, to delude. "They deceive the enemy by disguising the destroyer as a freighter, to be unfaithful to one spouse or lover." And as a verb, it means to mislead or falsely persuade others, practice deceit. So with all deceivableness, by a deluding influence of unrightwiseness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So you see, the delusion comes via unrightwiseness, which is a wrong understanding. People will be deluded by their own lack of understanding. And for this cause, what cause? The fact that they did not love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion, a false opinion or belief, that they should believe the lie. So they will be so caught up into their own creeds and dogma that they will be unable to see the truth when it is shown openly to them. They will refuse it because they would rather believe a lie than the truth. And for this purpose, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrightwiseness. So you see, the true vine loved the truth, but the false vine loved not truth. They love unrightwiseness. And they will be damned because they love not the truth. Then in the next verse he speaks of the true vine and he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always for you, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ." So because God ordained you and sanctified you in the Spirit and gave you a love for the truth, he brings you to the place of glory, his own opinions, his own values. Remember, Jesus said, "Father, glorify them as you glorified me. I have given them your glory that they might be one, just like you and I are one." That's being loved. That's what beloved means, beloved. Now, there are two words that are very important here for us to review. He said, "with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness in them that perish." So the unrightwiseness they possess is a delusion that they hold on to and are damned by it. Number one, he says, "with all deceivableness." Now, there is not an English word deceivableness in the dictionary, but there is a word deceivable, which means to cause to believe that which is not true, to mislead. And then there is a suffix ness, which means the quality or state of being. So by a quality or state of being, a deceiver. Deceivableness. He adds of unrighteousness. So the deception is the unrightwiseness, which is not wise, which is basically incorrect. Notice that the attributes of these people is that they are deceived by an incorrect word, belief, or opinion. The word unrightwiseness speaks of incorrectness in their doctrine. That is how they're deceived. And remember, the Bible says they are deceived and they deceive. Why? Because they're just, they believe what they believe. And it's contrary to the word. and then they teach others to believe what they believe, that they think is right, when it's contrary to the Word. Remember, the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, from the first seal, Brother Branham quotes the Scripture, and then he explains it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, deceiving people by unrighteousness, deceiving people by the unrighteousness in them that perish. Not this bride, in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth. And Christ is the truth, and Christ is the Word, and they'd rather have a creed that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, it should be translated here, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie, not a lie, the lie, the same one told Eve, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So Brother Branham himself says the deception is that they take an incorrect word and then the deceivableness is that they take the incorrect word and they pass it on as correct. Now from his sermon, God of the Evil Age, Brother Branham said, making a strong delusion. As the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians, how this man of sin would come into existence and set in the temple of God, showing himself that he was God, and cause the people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie and believe it and will be damned by it. That's the same thing he did to Eve. He gave her, now never told her the word wasn't right, but gave her a strong delusion that she believed a lie. In other words, he gave her a different interpretation of the word than what God said. So they use the word in an incorrect way to deceive. The spirit of delusion is the devil, is of the devil. Devil's now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? What's the children of this day disobedient to? Like Eve at the beginning, the true word of God. Now, we know by our studies that this glory that we are called in the Bible, the Greek word doxa, it means the opinion, the values, and judgment. In other words, it speaks of the very mindset that was in Christ. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. But he also says in Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or complete, finished off, be thus minded. And if in anything we be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. How does he do that? By giving you, here's a mental thing that I didn't think of. Turn the screw. Okay, now I got it right. Tune in. No. If it's God reveals it to you, God manifests it. God makes a manifestation of divine truth, and you see it, and you perceive it, and you understand it, and you hear it, and you understand it. In other words, God just doesn't leave it up to our mental abilities. He proves it to you, vindicates it to you. So, what gives us the ability to be thus minded is the revelation we receive from God, the manifestation of divine truth. Any child who followed the ministry of William Branham should be able to quote Matthew 16:17, and Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock of revelation I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, as I said, just about anyone who follows William Branham's message has heard him say this enough that they should be able to quote it and even talk intelligently about revelation, what it is, and how necessary revelation is to the believer. But why do the majority of ministers who claim to believe his message refuse to believe what Peter said that brought such praise from Jesus? In verse 13, Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say Jeremiah, and one or one of the prophets. And he says unto them, but who do you say that I am? I don't care what people say I am. Who do you say I am? And Peter, Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The Son of the living God. And Jesus says, based upon that revelation, the church will live. Hallelujah. Jesus called Peter blessed because he said, not thou art God, but thou art the Son of God. Not thou art God the Son, as many even in this message believe, but thou art the Son of God. Then Jesus called him blessed. And he said those notable words, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Peter had just called Jesus the Son of God, and the majority of ministers, so-called, who claim to follow the ministry of William Branham do not have the same revelation that Peter had, that was given to Peter by God the Father, as Jesus pointed out. So this morning we're looking at examining that difference between revelation and delusion, because both are very powerful influences in the world today, and not only in the world, but amongst those who claim to believe the end time message of Malachi 4 as well. And let's face it, I am not interested in the world. It is a lost cause. But I am interested in sons and daughters of God who are sitting under false shepherds who have no more revelation from God than the oneness Pentecostals have. Now, to understand the difference between revelation and delusion, we must know what the two words mean, because as Brother Branham said about the difference between appearing and coming, he said they are two different words and they mean two different things. And the word revelation and delusion are also two different words, and therefore they mean two different things. Now, the word revelation means the act of revealing or disclosing. Something revealed, something not previously known or realized, but is made known or realized. In Scripture, it is a manifestation of divine will or truth. So we see the revelation is a knowledge that God had alone, but had not yet revealed it, not had yet manifested it. Then he uncovers or discloses that truth so as to reveal or to manifest or to make that truth known to men. And it may have been hid to the world for ages, but until God makes it manifest, it is still hidden. But when God reveals it through manifestation, that then becomes the interpretation of the word. And thus, when he does that, we call that revelation. That's why you don't hear me talking much about the millennium and about the New Jerusalem and those things. We know they're coming. We know that they're to be. But I don't get into them because it's not been interpreted yet by coming to pass. So if I say anything, like Brother Brown said, now, I must not say much about the third pole. He said, we know what it is. It's been identified, but I can't say much about it. Why? Because Satan will get a hold of it and do great damage. See? And as we mentioned earlier, that revelation has to do with manifestation. And as we read the definition of revelation earlier as being a manifestation of divine will or truth, and we notice that the word manifestation is an expression, and that expression or manifestation is used by God to clarify the revelation and what it consists of. In other words, that which is invisible becoming visible. Then if revelation has to do with manifesting, then the opposite would be a delusion, which would have to be an absence of manifestation or an absence of expression. Just like the opposite of parousia is apousia. Means lack of presence. So if you're not preaching parousia, you're preaching absence. You see? As the apostle said in James 1:22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It's good scripture. Be doers of the word. Oh, I don't have to do those things. Brother Bram did it. We're counting on it. I'm sorry. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because hearers deceive their own selves. Hearers only are being deceived. If Noah wouldn't have built the ark, he wouldn't have been saved. It would have showed he didn't really believe the revelation. Because when he believed that revelation and put it into action, it became manifestation. Therefore, James suggests that if we are not expressing our belief in an outward expression or manifestation, we are deceiving ourselves into thinking we believe when in fact we do not. So the absence of expression shows delusion. Now notice, the word delusion comes from deception, the act of deceiving, and to deceive you must take a truth and do something to it to hide it from men. So revelation takes that which is hidden and reveals it or expresses it, while deception takes that which is true and covers it over or hides it from men, and the result is delusion. Believing something there is no reality for. It's like when they try to teach on the thunders, and they say, well, see, it's a myth. You know, they 70 times in one sermon I heard a brother preach on the thunders. 70 times. Then when you ask him, well, what is the thunder? Well, we don't know. Well, then that's a delusion, brother. Because you're putting all this emphasis on something you don't know about. Why don't you just shut up? When the prophet said the thunders were revealed in the seals. I believe what the prophet said. It's revealed in the seals. He said each seal was a thunder. That's what he said. Why do you try to make something bigger than it is? It's like, you know, well, there's two lords because, you know, the Lord's under my Lord. Now, just a minute. Even Brother Bell said it's a fallacy. So why do people continue to preach two lords when it's a fallacy? A fallacy. What does fallacy mean? False. Why would you preach something false? Why would you believe something false? It just separates you from the Word, from God Himself. So we can say revelation reveals, or revelation manifests, while deception hinders or delusion hides or covers up the truth. In other words, then a delusion is anti or opposite of revelation, because revelation expresses while delusion suppresses expression. There you go. There's John 14:12. If it's revealed to you that you have the same life that was in the Son of God, then it's a no-brainer. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step into it. And it's up to God to manifest it. But delusion does what? It suppresses it. Stay away from that stuff. That's dangerous. You're going to try to make yourself somebody you're not. Well, listen, we don't have to make ourselves anything that we're not, because God made us what we are. It's like the devil told me. When the Holy Spirit told me, he said, you go and take charge of the meeting. And the devil got on my back and said, you know, if you do, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. And I just thought, well, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And I just got up there and I did exactly what the pattern showed me in Jesus and in William Branham. And God stopped the story. Now, if I had listened to the delusion, I wouldn't have done anything. And that's what the devil's trying to get the people, just to sit on their hands. Don't do nothing. But God wants us to be. Brother Branham said, here's the secret. The Word is in the bride, and she knows what to do with the Word. She has nothing in the Lord, or she keeps still. So revelation expresses while delusion suppresses expression. And in fact, Jesus said in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. What's the proof that you've heard and learned? You've come. There you go. What's the proof that there's a path to faith? It's because there's an act of faith to follow. And if there's no act of faith to follow, you didn't have a path of faith anyway. So you see, he that expresses God comes to God, while he that expresses not comes not to God. In paragraph 121 we read tonight, notice Brother Branham said, and when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. See? That's God's purpose of Jesus Christ was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his law by death. Christ, God died in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeeming back that will believe only in the Word and not swap it like Eve did for an intellectual conception of men. You see it? Now notice, he mentions in paragraph 121, when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. But then notice in the next paragraph, 122, he says, if a man says he believes that but doesn't express it or manifest it in his life, he is just living in a delusion. The new birth reveals this. If a man says he's born again and tries to place these promises of Christ in this last age or some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, listen. I put down, whoa, 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 listen. What he just said, if a man just says he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, well, then make it, he's a deluded person. There's John 14:12. And notice Brother Bram goes on to point out Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe, into all the world every age, casting out devils, speaking in tongues, all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, that they shall, not that they may be, that they ought to be, that they, but they will. And heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't. As a son of God in the field, why are we not afraid to step in and do what God tells us? Because our business is just to be obedient. It's his business to fulfill his word. So you see, the importance of the manifestation of the word of life in your life, the expression of God's life, for without it, you're only deluding yourself. Without manifestation in your life, that is actually God's life living in you, you are living in a deception, brothers and sisters, a delusion. Notice Brother Graham is telling us here that when a person is genuinely born again, there will be a manifestation of that life itself, living itself out in you. That's what Paul said, it's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And if there is no expression or manifestation in your life, then you're still dead in your sins, and you only think you believe when you don't believe. So see the importance of revelation to the believer. Revelation is what seals us in, gives us the assurance that we really do believe, because you see the evidence of belief in your life. When your body begins to believe, your confession is when his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a son of God. You can say all day long that you believe this message correctly, but saying it and expressing it are two different things. The problem we have right here in this message is that men have received their learning from men, and they got it, but they don't got it, as Brother Vail said. Because the life of the Word is missing, though they can quote it all the day long. They might have it from man, but not from God. And remember, it is all about dying out to self and letting God work in you both to will and to do. Because if God is not working in you to change your will to His will, and then to do His will, then you're just a church person, and you're still lost. That's why Brother Brown is telling us here from Show Us the Father. He said, the thing to do is know that you're coming to fulfill a promise that God made you. Know that you're coming to fulfill a promise that God made to you. There's going to be thousands of people praying for you. And when you come by this line, when we pray, lay hands on you, just as soon as His hand is laid on you, you're just like rising them up out of the water being baptized. You have done something that God give you a promise what would happen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You go right out of this building testifying that you're saved. What if you go out of this building and say, well, I don't know. Then you're not saved. But God will make your body obey your confession. See? And He's the high priest of our confession. Because before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. You have to believe that you are healed. And then when you believe that you're healed, God makes your body obey your confession. So now when you come by here, just let it be settled. Say, God, this is your commandment. I believe I'm healed. And walk off the path. Remember, God said to Moses, speak and go forward. And if Moses would have only spoke, nothing would have happened. He stepped into the water. Had his staff in his hand. Stepped into the water. Water did what? It opened. Elijah come along hundreds of years later. What did he do? Didn't have a mantle, took his coat off, wrapped it up tight. Remember in high school in the showers, you wrap your towel and snap people with it. Got as tight as almost like a rod. Well, he took that mantle, tightened it up. Had his rod now. He was a Moses. And Elijah stepped into the water. What happened? The waters opened. What happened when he dropped that mantle down? Elisha walked back with it, got to the same spot on the other side, said, I'm going to do the same thing Elijah did. Tighten that thing up. He stepped in the water, said, where is the God of Elijah? Same thing happened. Brother, sister, we have the pattern, but you got to step into it. You can't just talk about it and say, oh, I believe that. Brother Brown said, God will make your body to obey your confession. Now, from a sermon, attitude of who and who is God, and when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. If you say you're a drunkard and want to drink, oh, don't worry, you'll be one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be one. You'll be right into it. Now listen, let me tell you something. If you say that you're a foolish virgin, don't worry, you'll be one. So quit it. Brother Bassett, don't believe that stuff. That's the lie of the devil. He's trying to lead you right into that. You believe I'm a son of God. You say I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. How do I know? Because He's alive to me and in my life. I see evidence of Him in my life, moving me, directing me. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's God. He answers my prayers even before I pray them. He's got the thing on its way. And when I find I just feel led for some reason, I just feel led to pray for this thing, and boom, it happens. And then I realize, hey, this took a while to build up. to the place where it became manifest. What is it? God put that thought, God in you, to do what? Making you to will, so that He can do, and you do. Hallelujah. Just open your eyes to your sonship, to who you are. We live so, as Brother Francis, so under our privilege as a son and daughter of God. He said you've got enough Holy Ghost in you to speak a world and go live on it. You have enough power of God in you to speak a word and that thing come to pass. That's why he said the prophets had to be very careful not to, you know, like he said, you know, Elisha was just an angry, look, he was just a young guy. He was fresh into his ministry. That's when we make most of our mistakes. He spoke a word harshly to those children, and she bears came up and killed him. I bet you he was careful after that. And when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. If you say you're a drunkard and want to drink, don't worry, you'll be one soon. If you say that you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. But if you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, God will bring, your testimony will bring you right into it. Amen? I am a son of God. Amen? I testify it. I believe it. And God brings my body into it. I am a Christian. It means Christ-like. I say it. I step into it, and God confirms it in the body. If you say you're a Christian and believe it, all along God will bring, your testimony will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it, and God will make your body obey your confession. For He's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father now with His own blood to make intercession for our confession upon anything that He died for, and He died to rid sin. And sickness is a result of sin. He was wounded for our transgression. With His stripes we are healed. Now remember, we have faith, don't waver, or have faith, don't waver, stand on it. And I say step into it. Now let me tell you this. You will know when you have it from God. And that is when it takes a hold of your life and it brings with it an expression or a manifestation of that truth in your life. And until then, you're only professing it. Still professing. Keep professing it. And stepping into it. Don't forget to step into it. Profess it and step into it. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Voice of the Sign, he said, the elected listens to the voice, but the unelected ignores it and says, nonsense, go on, we'll take the same old school. There's our two vines again. The true vine, the elect, they listen to it and enter into it, while the false vine, they ignore it and they pass right on, right and by. Now the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak the wisdom of God, the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world, of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we see, because they could not see or understand the glory, the dose of God, they crucified the Lord of glory. Your actions or lack of actions will give you away every time. But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit, God's Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, there is an action right there. You will compare. You will search. You will keep looking, and God will let you know that you've got it when you begin to see His life living your life for you, when you hunger and thirst, and He begins to fill. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And if you hear but do not learn, it is because you might have heard but you did not believe. Or else what you heard you really did not understand, and what you saw you did not see, nor did you perceive, nor did you understand, lest God would have to heal them, as Jesus quoted in Matthew 13. So by hearing and not hearing, and seeing and not seeing, it shows that they have preconceived ideas already of what it was that they were hearing and seeing, but their preconceived notions were wrong, and they become a delusion. That is why they heard and did not hear, and saw but did not see, nor did they understand. They were deluded by a misunderstanding. Now, I've seen this firsthand in ministers' meetings overseas. As I told you before, I have taught more than 3,500 ministers overseas, and I'm getting ready to teach many more in Gabon in the next couple weeks. And having met thousands of ministers overseas and talking to them, many of them, and received questions from a lot of them, I think I can say that there is not a person that I've met who claims to believe William Branham's message that cannot quote you Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10. And all these individuals also know by heart the emphasis that Brother Branham spoke concerning how Peter, by revelation, spoke those most notable words. And yet, if you ask them to speak what those notable words were, I have many doubts that they could quote them, because at least they might quote them, but they do not believe them. Why? Because they do not believe that Peter said what he said, that one prays from Jesus, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They don't even think about it. Like I said in 2004 in DRC, the brothers came to me after the service. They said, you know, we learned one thing. We learned how to read our Bibles, because they were just reading it like a book. And I said, you've got to read it one thought at a time. One thought at a time. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if the Word of God is shown to them, like it is shown to the real believer who believes it, but nothing happens to the others, then what happens to them? They open themselves up for the great delusion. Now listen, the true believer, the true vine, they hear and understand what they hear, and they see and perceive what they see. And what they see is a manifestation of the revelation. What they see is the interpretation of the word, because God brings it to pass. But the false vine hear and do nothing, and do not understand, and they see and do not perceive. And therefore they are content in their deluded state, thinking they are okay when they're not. Again, let's go back to what the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, in other words, they took pleasure in a wrong understanding. Now, a delusion is a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. And no matter how many hundreds of scriptures you give them, no matter how many hundreds of quotes from Brother Branham that you give them, they still refuse to believe what the prophet of God and the word of God said concerning God having a son. And that is a strong delusion, brother. And I talk to these men, and they tell me they believe every word Brother Branham said, but they deny and disagree with what he said. So instead of revelation that feeds upon word upon word upon word, they receive a strong delusion that feeds upon what other men have said. And thus they would rather believe the lie than the truth, vindicated by scripture and prophetic utterance of thus saith the Lord. Well, if revelation anoints us to bring forth expression and creates in us a supernatural understanding that readies us for adoption, then deception will do the opposite. It will cause to fall away from the faith, which is the revelation. And there's only one Lord and one faith, and that faith is the revelation of that one Lord. As Brother Branham said from Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, the faith, not a faith, one Lord. See, you can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. So how can brothers that believe in two Lords have one faith? They can't do it. He just said it right here. Thus saith the Lord. Therefore, you can't tell me that these men who deny the truth of the word and have no expression of God life in themselves are not intentionally holding to error rather than the truth. Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Notice Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither will you allow them that are entering to go in. You see, they themselves will not enter. They will not express, and they will not hold, and they will hold others back from that expression or that manifestation. Again, we hear Paul tell us in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth down in unrighteousness." Now, the word "hold" was translated from the Greek word "kateko," and it means to hold down or to withhold or to hold back. In other words, they suppress the truth. Notice that they hold down the truth in unrighteousness, which means that they hold down the truth using an incorrect understanding to do it. That's how they hold down the truth. So you see, by teaching error instead of truth, they hold the truth back from the people. By telling the people there is no expression, the manifestation is for the millennium, they are in fact keeping sons and daughters of God from becoming the manifested word they were ordained to become. And that is why John 14:12 is so important, because if you are a true believer, then you will truly manifest the same life Jesus did. And that is a manifestation of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. "It's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me." So in order to withhold the truth from the people, they call the people to stay away from the truth. Now to do this, they must lie about the truth, and so they will teach God's children lies, and they say, "You have no need for that fiery experience of new birth. All you have to do is say that you believe it, and you got it." And thus they suppress the expression of God's life from the people, because the people become afraid to check it with the Word. Now, in order to teach a lie, they do not come right out and deny the Scripture. No, instead, they will just not quote it. Or when you quote from the Scriptures and William Branham, they will say that you're not teaching it like our church teaches it, and therefore you're false. False by teaching from the prophet and Scriptures, and you are right in teaching from your traditions and church dogma. I just don't get it. But they say that they believe God's prophet and yet deny what he taught. So what they do is they tell the people the Scripture does not mean what it says. They teach the people that evidence is your experience, even when they are different words and they mean two different things altogether. They say that parousia of Christ is false doctrine because Brother Brown never used the word parousia, yet the word parousia means presence, and he most certainly taught that over 8,000 to 9,000 times in only 1,200 sermons. And he even said, "My ministry is to declare him that he's here." And Brother Brown did not have to use the word parousia to teach the doctrine of parousia. He used the equivalent English word, which is presence. In Brother Brown's message indictment, he said, what he said is just as alive today as what he preached it. And in that sermon, he said, "You poor intellectual, spiritually deprived, rejected upon your own grounds, you read the same Bible that any other man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God till the Bible said that you'd be given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. You actually believe that you're right, and the Bible says that you'd believe it and be damned by it, by the same lie that you believe to be the truth. Therefore, I indict you by the Word of God. You are teaching the people in error and crucifying the principles of Christ, of holiness, a life above as a person might walk out on the street and be a different person. So what is the best way to hide, then, a real diamond? Put it in a room with thousands of counterfeits. And what is the best way to hide the truth? Put it in a message with 1,000 counterfeits. Look, the counterfeit religion isn't out there somewhere. It's right in the midst, trying to keep you from the truth of the message, as Brother Brown taught us. And how can you worship God outside of truth? You can't. So they try to change the truth. So the error of the wicked is to take the Word of God and twist it in such a way as to distort it, so it does not say what it actually says. It means that they lie about the truth in order to cause the people to stay away from it. And that's how they suppress the truth, for 2 Peter 2:1. "But as there were false prophets among the people, so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies," or as we says, alongside of heresies, destructive, alongside of truth, destructive heresies, "even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And I'm just reading from the Weast. "But as there arose false prophets among you, among the people, even as also among you there shall rise false teachers, who will be of such a character as to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who purchased them, bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious or their licentious conduct to its consummation, on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled. These men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the word, and word of God, and people will be caught up." Now this should be in black right here. Paraphrasing what he said. "These men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the Word of God, and people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the Word of Truth. And in the sphere of covetousness with fabricated words, they will exploit you, for whom from ancient times their judgment has not been idle." Now, in closing, as Jesus said, In John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor have they known me. So notice their expression is not in expressing the word, but in trying to kill the influence of the word, thinking that in doing so they're doing God a favor. In John 15:20 we read, remember the word that I said unto you, this is Jesus speaking, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and if they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Why? Because he manifested. He said, I do nothing but the Father shows me. He manifested what God said, and now they have no cloak for it. Because you have the written word, you have the spoken word, they're the same, and yet they saw the spoken word, they couldn't take it back to the written word. Now, Brother Bram warned us in his sermon, Christ Revealed His Own Word, that people would lose their minds in the end time. He said, in Laodicean age, the people were what? Naked. Are they? They're blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind leaves the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked, blind, and don't know it. Even their mental faculties are gone, their spiritual faculties of mental, spiritual understanding. See, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, the power of revelation. They don't even believe in it. See, they don't believe in such things as prophets, and they don't believe in it. And from way of a true prophet, it said, the Bible said if they wouldn't believe the word, he'd give them strong delusion to believe a lie and would be damned by it. That's exactly what these organizations and people of this nation is doing today, believing a lie to be damned by it. And from God's wrath gift, God said he'd give them over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. God said that he'd do it. You refuse right, you have to take wrong. There's no other way. You refuse to go right, you have to go left. Go some other way besides right. So you can't go right and wrong at the same time. And when they refuse the Holy Ghost, they refuse Christ. They refuse God's program. They refuse the messenger. They refuse everything. So therefore, they're left in their sin. There's nothing left for them but judgment. And let me add, when they refuse the word, they refuse the Holy Ghost, for he is the word. Again, from the indictment, he says, if a man accepts Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a creed instead of the word, titles instead of the name, what does he do to the people? He crucifies the effects of the word to the people. So what does the false doctrine that says that John 14:12 is only for William Branham, what does that do? It crucifies the effect of the word to the people. When he says that Mark 16 was just for that generation, and God said himself right there, Jesus talking to them, said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them. How far? Every nation, every creed, every tongue, every race, every people, the same gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And when a man tries to cut that out of the Bible, he crucifies the effects of the gospel to that congregation. So I indict you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're guilty of murdering the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. It is powerful and it is terrifying. It is powerful and it is revelatory. But it's terrifying, Father, if we're just living in a delusion. If the word says for one thing and then we say, yeah, but that was just for so-and-so. That crucifies the effects to the people. And that crucifies the Son of God afresh only to the one who's saying it. So, Father, we just commit, Lord, our lives. We pray that your presence would be such a reality to us that when we wake up, you are there. When we go through the day, you are there. When we go to sleep at night, you are there. Because you said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. So we just commit our walk and our sonship back to thee, knowing that it is you, Father, you, God, that is working in us both to will and to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Take this message today, study it, read it over and over again until it becomes so much in your own understanding that you know that you're living by revelation. You're not just a churchgoer, you're not just deluded, but that you're living by him.
To be like Jesus.